This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening. How you doing tonight, man?
You know, I'm doing great. I was just lamenting the fact a few minutes ago, actually, that, you know, things are so busy now. I haven't had time to kind of get around to the blending that I know and love so much. It's been kind of, I don't know. I've got to figure out some new rhythms so I can get back to, you know, less away from the paperwork of shop owning and more back into the deliciousness of, you know, trying new tobaccos and experimenting and things like that. But man, things are great. It's a fun time of year around here. We're getting geared up for fall. Football season is here, and so people are coming in and getting their smokes. And this is the time of year too that we start to see those folks that we lost back in June when it got so hot. You know, down in sub-Saharan United States here, where we just really, you know, it's a miracle people can live in this part of the world. It's amazing what modern technology can do. You know, it gets so hot in the summertime that we lose a lot of our customers just because folks kind of quit smoking. And so this time of year is when we start to finally see those people filter back
in. Are you starting to see them filter back in, though? Because, like, the thing is, like, I one of the reasons I shaved my beard, because I was like, you know, look, if fall's not going to come, I'm just going to pretend like we're just having a second summer at this rate. Because, I mean, like,
I think people are
just kind of warm lately.
No, it has been warm, but I think people are starting to believe, you know?
Okay, right.
It's kind of like when Christmas is around the corner and you just, even though you've been a bad boy, you just kind of start to believe maybe I will get that Tonka truck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, my kid
something like that.
My kid actually asked me the other day when I was picking them up from school. They're like, "Daddy, why are you wearing long sleeves and it's so hot outside?" And I told them, "Because it's supposed to be fall."
No, right? That's exactly right. You know, I mean, the old adage of, like, you know, in the South, you know, you're supposed to only wear, like, seersucker, before Labor Day or something. And it's like, well, if it's still the same temperature in November that it is in July, then why are we concerned about this? Like, why is this a thing?
Tradition. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, man, I know that you have had a packed house, especially here recently. In fact, this last past week, you had the cigar event, the Hammer and Sickle cigar event.
Yeah, that's right. That's right,
dude. It seemed like a pretty massive success.
It was a great time, man. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of folks, you know, having fun with the fact that we had an event with a brand named Hammer and Sickle Cigar.
Yeah, it's because in communist Russia, well, cigar, you know, smokes you.
It's so funny. This company, they actually make really good cigars, but they started out as a vodka company. You know, this is post, you know, this is a recent company.
It's, right.
No, this is not an old Soviet, you know, development. But what's interesting, you know, is that I felt like in a you know, in an event like this, if you're going to have an event with someone named Hammer and Sickle Cigars, you almost need to have like a bread line or a soup kitchen, and maybe we could have a little gulag.
Oh, man.
Maybe we have a little gulag where people could take their pictures with Khrushchev or something, and I don't know, like the nuclear football could be here. I don't know. I mean, I think we could have had more fun with that, you know, like some borscht or something. I
might go for some borscht. I don't know what that is, but you know.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, well, you know,
but I mean, you know what? That's what you'd expect from something like that.
Yeah,
if those images evoked are Spartan Soviet images, you know, you can rest assured the cigars were at least really good.
Yeah, we just lost all our entire Russian audience. That's
no,
great.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think they're I think they're kind of on board with more of our thinking nowadays.
Look, the Hammer and Sickle, like, that was actually like a really good cigar. You know, they had a nice spread, actually. You know, the representative,
yeah,
here,
our friend Joe Hill,
yep. Yeah, did a great job of kind of, you know, displaying them all out. And man, I went to Joe. I asked, I was like, what should I do? And of course, he knew that I wasn't more into pipe tobacco, and he made some recommendations, but I still felt a little overwhelmed. So I just kind of turned to you, and basically, you said, forget everything he said, get that one because you can't handle anything beyond that.
No, I just know your vomit threshold,
and I appreciate that.
I know what it takes in a cigar to send Bo to our sweet little hospital down the street here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to mop you off the floor.
Nah, but you had to anyway. You know? But that had to do with that had to do with the delicious bourbon.
More with the Clyde Mays that night. Yeah. No, we had a great time and had some really nice pairings, and it was a lot of fun. So if you were in the area and do happen to be a cigar smoker and happen to come out, we sure are thankful for you.
Already getting some great people making fun of me because of my inability to handle the the most
it was so
cigars.
Funny. I mean, Joe was trying to give you like all these cigars with really sophisticated profiles and Lajero leaves and double Maduros and all this kind of stuff, and I was just like, Bo, you need to smoke the Connecticut over there. But they have great flavor even though it's a mild cigar, anyway, it was a big hit.
I enjoyed it, man, but I'm all about the pipe, and that's good because we got coming up here in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, it's
the Texas Pipe Show.
It's less than 2 weeks, man. We're right here at it. Yeah, man. We're so excited. It's terribly exciting.
No, man, it's going to be a blast. By the way, if you're going to Texas Pipe Show and you have not registered yet for the long smoke competition, I think there's still time to do it. You need to do it. Make it happen. But here's the thing. If you're going, and we know many of you are, we have got the Night of the Pipe Show. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, but we are going to do a listener meetup. We now officially have a time.
Yeah, that's great.
8:00 local time in Fort Worth. Where are we going to do it?
Do we know?
8:00. No, we haven't decided. That's the thing. We might decide when we get there.
Maybe at a place that has barbecue.
Well, so
or maybe at a place that has real Mexican food. Since we can't really get that here.
Well, no, we can. You don't know the places. I know the places.
No, I mean,
There's a Mexican grocery store where you can get like some legit Mexican food, but like you got to know where it's at.
I think those people are like Colombian.
No, man. It's the legit stuff. But here's the thing. All right, so we'll be in Fort Worth. We'll be in Texas. We got to do barbecue while we're in Texas. 8:00 for the after show listener meetup. It's going to be a lot of fun. More details on that as we get closer.
It's really exciting.
Like 1 week away.
It is 1 week away. And you do need to register for the slow smoke competition. You can go to texaspipeshow.com to learn all about it, to register, figure out who's going, set your travel up, just plan all your purchases, everything you need to do and know and plan for and prep for regarding the Texas Pipe Show. You can find it at texaspipeshow.com. And man, we're just so excited to be a part of that. Some really awesome vendors will be there, some other sponsors that we're really proud to be associated with. So man, bring it on. We're excited. Yep.
October 7th, Pop Safari Room, Fort Worth, Texas. Is that now later on this month or this next coming month? Or yeah, I guess we still have one more week to this one.
Yeah, that's right.
But later on in October, of course, we've got the Jackson Pipe Night here, October 28th. That is the local long smoke competition here. As excited as I am for Fort Worth, it's just practice for me, baby.
I know
right
it, man.
Here, this is the Super Bowl of the Southeastern pipe smoking community, specifically in Mississippi.
Something like that, yeah. Right. Man, it's going to be great. Jackson Pipe Night, October 28th. We generally have folks drive in from different states and different parts of the country to come hang out. We're really excited about this. Tickets are going to be launched either this week or next week, and you will be able to get your seating priority based on your ticket purchase. So anyway, jump on that as soon as it comes out. Be watching the interwebs and friend faces and all that stuff for that, more information on that. But we're so excited. Live music is generously sponsored by the folks at Savinelli, Briarworks, Pipes, and also Neil Monnier Pipes. And so, we're just so excited about that. We're going to have popsicles, live music, some good food. It's just going to be a fun time.
Is there going to be the tobacco popsicle?
I don't know if we're going to resurrect that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
probably for the best.
Well, a couple years ago, as good as that tobacco pop was, I mean, I gave my friend Jake, who makes these pops, I gave him a pound of Burley and was like, look, you see what you can do with this, and he, I don't know, the pop tasted great, but I couldn't I couldn't feel my face after I ate it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was your cigar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And I wanted another one, but I also wanted to, you know, walk home. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. All right, well, fair enough. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going
to
be great.
If those of you who are able to join us again October 28th here at the Country Squire, should it be a blast. Great time to make the trek down to Jackson, Mississippi. Now, for those of you who you're thinking, well, I can't go to Jackson. I'm in the UK. Well, are you in luck?
Well, we have an answer for you.
Because the day after the pipe show here, or long smoke here, is the UK Pipe Show, October 29th, in Canal House. And, of course, that's in Nottingham. Now, the reason why you want to go to this, aside from the fact that you get to connect with the great pipe community out in the UK, is the fact that you want to go and represent the folks here at Country Squire.
That's right.
Specifically one of us, specifically me. Look, as you've heard, new listeners might not know this, but last couple of weeks, we've been building up to this thing as we've helped out the folks at the UK Pipe Show, sent them a little bit of tobacco. We got some Lancaster, which is a fine, pipe tobacco blend.
Adequate.
It's adequate.
Right.
But then you've also got White Rose, which is really the gift to the pipe community, to the pipe industry. It is the one pipe tobacco, the one that was promised. It is the White Rose, and it is the representative of the House of York.
Does it turn you invisible when you smoke it, and can you see like Gollum and stuff?
I can't promise that, but go to the UK Pipe Show and smoke it to find out.
We're so excited, man. Both of our War of the Roses blends are going to be there. Obviously, Lancaster that we've had a while now, and then we have White Rose that, of course, I made in honor of my good friend Bo here. That debuted not too long ago.
200th episode.
And these are going to be head-on-head kind of things debuted there at least pitted against each other there at the UK Pipe Show. And we're just so excited that those guys got us involved, and we're happy to do that. So anyway, man, go check it out. We're hopeful that, if you're in that part of the country in the United Kingdom, specifically England, you'll be able to swing by Canal House in Nottingham at 12 noon.
And, you know, that's one of those shows that we really wish we could be at, but we're not going to be at, unfortunately.
I don't know if the Country Squire budget has that in its as a line item.
Not for like a red eye, like, because we got the long smoke here the day before.
Yeah.
But here's the deal.
Red eye from Jackson to London. I think that would involve teleportation.
Yeah, might have right. to do that. But those of you who are going, if you are a Country Squire radio listener and you're able to like meet up with other Country Squire radio listeners, do like a selfie video and kind of give a shout out like with your review, because we'd love to know if you guys are kind of connecting through the show overseas. I think that's just insanely
so,
cool.
Be so meaningful, and really that is kind of the essence of what we're doing here.
Right, I mean, exactly.
Let's be honest. We've talked about the culture that Country Squire Radio has built, and how we've developed these pockets of pipe communities all over that we have, and folks are really getting to know one another, connect one another, learn from one another, and enjoy each other's company through this. And so if we can be a little part of that, that's what we want to do. Anyway, we hope y'all have a great time over in the mother country.
That's right. That's right. All right. So last week, John David, you hit listeners, specifically Pipe Club members, with a major reveal, and that is that for Pipe Club members, we actually have what are we calling this? A giveaway?
I think we're calling it a giveaway.
Okay. So, yeah. So if you are a Pipe Club member, a Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club member, coming this Halloween episode, every single year we do a Halloween special.
That's right.
On this coming Halloween special at the very tail end of October, we will be giving away a tin of Penzance to one of our club members.
That's right.
So if you've not joined the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, you can absolutely do it. CountrySquireRadio.com is the place to do it. We've got a banner right there that says join the club for $3 an episode, $5 an episode. You can join either the Pilgrim or the Squire level. We love you guys so much who are helping support the show. And can't wait to give this away coming October.
Someone's going
to
be thrilled. Yeah, we're tickled that this worked out. And we've got a month left between now and then. We may find some other interesting things laying around the shop that we're going to give away too. So stay tuned for next week. I don't know.
I gotta tell you, man.
You never know.
We've got, like, this is one of those things. There's a couple more housekeeping items I want to throw out there, but this has been like such a long long list of like events. Like when you talk about fall and how fall really does kind of start into like pipe season.
Yeah, it really
does.
You
can tell like all of these events are starting to happen, and there's just so much going on in the community right now that I say, man, let's jump into the show. Now tonight we've got a topic that we're talking about that I'm really ready to learn about. In fact,
yeah.
Some of the live studio audience and I were kind of chatting about the fact that tonight's topic is going to be an educational experience for some of us, because we're talking about flavorless Black Cavendish.
Unflavored Black Cavendish.
Or flavorless.
Flavorless. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
My English was grammatically something.
You nailed it.
I thought so.
I think both of our Englishes are grammatically something.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Put the right emphasis on the right syllable.
Syllable, that's right. Are you looking for your whiskey?
Yes, I am, always. Yeah. All right, so non-flavored Black Cavendish.
That's right. So we, Black Cavendish obviously is well known. A lot of folks are aware that Black Cavendish or Cavendish in general is a healthy component in a lot of aromatic tobaccos, and a lot of folks also have this misconception, or at least there's a stigma, that Black Cavendish is only for aromatic tobaccos. It's one of those that it's meant to be syrupy and cased and cherry flavored, or blue razzleberry flavored, or whatever, razzleberry flavor.
Right.
I mean, think of the most supreme, nth degree flavoring. A lot of our non-aromatic smokers, they associate Black Cavendish with that. And then, so there's kind of a stigma there because Cavendish has over time, particularly over the past 30 years, been associated with aromatic tobaccos, and particularly syrupy aromatic tobaccos. So,
yeah, most of the aromatics that you just defined, I sometimes tell people, I sometimes confess that I'm an aromatics like smoker.
Yeah, but, sure.
I don't like that conjures up to people like extreme, like rich cherry tobacco.
Yeah, like a Slurpee or something. Yeah,
that's not what I mean when I say I'm an aromatic smoker.
That's right. Well, and so over the years, kind of as some quality of tobaccos has gotten lower, and then Black or Cavendish in general is just kind of associated with aromatic tobaccos, there's just kind of this stigma in the pipe world against Black Cavendish. Mm. and then particularly from our non-aromatic smokers that just don't see a lot of value in smoking something that's flavored, and which is understandable, And so we wanted to talk about what is unflavored Black Cavendish. What are the uses of that, and some surprising places where you might find it, where our non-aromatic smokers I think might appreciate it.
Black Cavendish, when you kind of take an immediate look at it, it's kind of in that perique category. It stands out on the counter.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. The jar is stained. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. We have three jars here at the Country Squire on our tobacco shelf behind the bar that are just stained by the color of their tobacco, and that is Latakia, Perique, and our Black Arrow, which is our house blend of Black Cavendishes. I have to do this. Look at this. If you're a live viewer, can you see that? This is our Latakia.
Whoa.
This is our Latakia jar.
That's supposed to be clear, folks.
Like, it was.
That was not a yellow jar.
It was at one point. Like, that just blows my mind, to think, like, the amazing, I don't know, just effect that smoky oiliness has had on that jar over literally 40 years.
You know what's interesting? That Latakia hit me instantly. I was like, this does not smell like what I associate Black Cavendish with. And then I look and I say, oh, that's because it's Latakia.
That's Latakia. I would show you the Black Cavendish jar, but we actually broke that not too long ago, and I've replaced it, and so it's still relatively clear.
I love that you got it filled to the brim over there behind us. That's great.
If the Black Cavendish jar ever runs out, we might as well lock the door because we have to go home at that point. Black Cavendish, it is a component in a lot of different tobaccos, but it's also important in sophisticated blends, and I think some folks are unaware of that. I think some folks don't understand that Black Cavendish is incredibly versatile, and particularly in its unflavored form, it can be just a real incredibly fun ingredient to blend with.
Huh, yeah.
Yeah. So let's rewind and review just a little bit. And I hate to get too preachy or like professorial in some of these episodes.
We got scientific last time.
You got to keep me honest. Okay. You got to keep me honest. All right. You just keep me on my foot, but on my feet. But you know, let's rewind. What is Cavendish? Cavendish typically is a Burley or Virginia or a mixture of the two that is heated or steamed for a long period of time. And so you've got tobacco in its natural form. You're steaming it, toasting it, some combination of the two, perhaps, and then you're placing it under a tremendous amount of pressure. And so you've got just this tobacco that's been heat treated, essentially, and then it goes under a lot of pressure. Okay, and what you're doing through the pressure, you're allowing this tobacco to ferment. And sometimes the pressure, you know, it'll sit under this pressure for literally months, you know, just to get all the real delicious little ingredients to come to the top of those tobacco leaves. And this got to be really popular, particularly in the aromatic world, in the early 1970s, a lot of aromatic or American manufacturers, they figured out that if you took Cavendish from this style, like if you took Cavendish, it really was able to absorb a lot of flavoring syrups like very, very easily. Okay, so there was kind of this like aromatic revolution back in the 70s, and so you've got, you know, they're like, okay, can we take this Cavendish and get maybe a little more absorption of the flavoring syrups from that style of you know, curing tobacco.
Interesting.
And that's what happened.
So let me see if I'm following. So it's the process they were using to create Cavendish was so successful in kind of, you know, fermenting that flavor. They're like, okay, what other flavors could we get out of this? Like,
that's right.
Can we introduce into this process?
That's right. They realized that the tobacco, once it was, you know, created into a Cavendish, it was like a sponge just sitting there ready to absorb these incredible casings and toppings that we've developed over the years that now, you know, we're accustomed to seeing. But the Cavendish on its own stands apart, right? You've got the Cavendish on its own that before any kind of, mixing with flavor, syrups, casings, toppings, the Cavendish on its own has its own property that at one point in time was used very commonly, and less and less now so, because most of the time when you see Cavendish, it is in its flavored form. So, we want to talk about its unflavored form, right? So we've applied heat or steam to this leaf. We've put it under pressure. We've fermented it. Now we have this leaf. We have this tobacco that we slice up, and it is silky smooth. It's got low nicotine content. It's real airy and light. The sweetness is all natural and sugar. The sugars are natural. There's no additives. It's just a naturally sweet tobacco processed in a way that you might think of Latakia being processed, or Perique being processed, or any other of our favorite non-aromatic tobaccos. So Cavendish is, in its own right, is naturally sweet and moist. So you've got, you know, again, this tobacco that, you know, it's been fermented, it's been pressed, and so it's just going to have kind of this, sugary sweetness that where all that, caramelized sugar is just real accessible as flavor. And so why would you blend with this? You know, like you've got this kind of simple tobacco. I was trying to describe, what does unflavored black Cavendish taste like? Okay,
one imagines without flavor.
Yeah, right. Unflavored black Cavendish. So you've got a tobacco leaf that's been steamed or toasted, which means a lot of its initial indigenous flavorings are gone, right? And so the flavorings that tobacco leaf was born with, you know, as a vegetable, like those have been cooked off. They're gone, in great part, and so you've got this leaf that's very soft. It's really just kind of airy. It's like if you had like, you know, blank ice cream that didn't have the flavor. It's just ice cream.
Vanilla?
Or maybe not even vanilla. It's kind of, someone described unflavored black Cavendish to me one time as the ice cube in your sweet tea. It's like, it's just kind of like, it's a very important part.
So it's like water.
It is, but maybe like seltzer water. Like it's a very important part of the cocktail, but it doesn't have, you know,
it's not the reason
in and of its own. It's not the reason. You're right. Mm. In and of its own, it's kind of its own. It's just this very versatile chameleon tobacco that sits in the background and plays a lot of different roles.
Interesting. Because like to me, and maybe this is just, you know, my kind of novice ear, but like, the way that you describe its role in blends kind of reminds me a little bit of Burley.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And I love that because Cavendish and Burley are kind of kissing cousins, right? So you've got...
Oh, we are in the South.
We are in the South, so we can go there. But, you know, the Black Cavendish, when it's unflavored, it has this ability to take on the properties of tobaccos around it. It also can kind of cut the you know, intensity of flavors around it too. You know, there's it's got its own kind of natural sugar, so you know, other reasons you would blend with this, the natural sweetness obviously is there. The sugars produced from the fermenting process are just kind of very very subtle, but they're present, but they're in the background. I'm actually smoking Black Cavendish tonight, and so you know, it makes the room smell nice. It's not really, you know, what do you think?
No, I mean, it definitely smells nice, but I have also noticed you've had a hard time keeping it lit.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, is there a correlation there?
Yeah, you know, Black Cavendish has a lot of moisture to it, so it's going to burn. It's going to burn slowly. It's one of those things that, you know, it's it can introduce a moisture level to maybe a dry tobacco that might, you know, be helpful to make a blend more well rounded or something. You know, and we think about you know, other. You know, okay, so you've got the non-aromatic smoker, right? And they're thinking, well, you know, why would we smoke something that's been treated this way? You know, you've steamed this stuff, you've put it under pressure, you pressed it. You know, why should we smoke that? That sounds kind of artificial. Well, it's the exact same reason you smoke something like Perique or something like Latakia. You know, these are also tobaccos that come from other leaves. You know, we talked about before Perique or Latakia kind of being almost like a pickle, right? This was born a cucumber, it becomes a pickle.
Right.
And the same way, you know, Perique or Latakia or you know, your Black Cavendish coming from Green River Burley, you know, you've got these leaves that wind up you know, becoming something else through this process, right? And so, you know, Latakia, for instance, I mean, it doesn't come out of the ground with that smoky flavor. It's treated because it's put in a certain type of barn. It's smoked over these fires with very specific kinds of woods in the fire. And the smoke particles attach to the leaf, you know, through the smoldering process. And so, and those smoke particles, that's what gives the Latakia its flavor.
Huh.
The Perique, of course, you've got these, you know, leaves that are high in nicotine. They've been, you know, pressed in these whiskey barrels, of all things, and you know, charred whiskey barrels, and that have been used, you know, for hundreds of you know, times over and over and over, and they're fermented. They've got their own natural sugars there, and so you know, this is not like it's just a leaf that comes out of the ground, and Latakia has that smokiness, or Perique has that spicy vinegariness, or that peppery flavor. You
it's
know,
the and tobacco brine.
That's yeah, you yeah. know, and that's kind of the process with unflavored Black Cavendish. It kind of it gives this soft element that allows a lot of tobaccos to just become real versatile. Like we mentioned, there is a slow burning component or a slow burning attribute of Black Cavendish, and so you know, it's a moist tobacco. It can complement drier leaves around it, which is really nice. Like Burley, it acts as the chameleon. So it's kind of like you had mentioned before. It's this tobacco that can kind of interplay with other tobaccos around it. But it stands up in its own right because it's really silky. It has a full mouthfeel. Like lots of smoke is produced. It's very very velvety and silky and creamy as far as that goes. So it's real real nice to kind of round out the body of a blend. It's really great. It has very low nicotine content. And so, you know, unflavored Black Cavendish, it just, you know, you've basically kind of scorched off or steamed off all the stuff that might give it a lot of power or strength, you know?
I almost feel like there should be like a yin and yang of Black Cavendish and Burley from that standpoint. Because, of course,
yeah, it's true.
Has
tons of
nicotine. Huge nicotine kick.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. It's kind of funny. You know, we have our Black Arrow, which is our house Black Cavendish here at the Squire that we've sold for years. We, you know, a lot of folks look at that jar, they see that black, oily, you know, thick tobacco, and they immediately think, man, that must be really strong tobacco. And if you know these, if you're unfamiliar with tobacco, you don't really know, oh, that's the mildest tobacco on the shelf, right? I mean, that's the tobacco that literally is the smoothest tobacco on the shelf. And what's great is, you know, of course, our house Cavendish Black Arrow, it is cased with vanilla. But Black Cavendish that's unflavored in its unflavored form, you know, it provides all these things, but without any flavoring at all. And so it's, you know, it's going to be naturally sweet. It's going to have, you know, slow burning properties. It's going to have a nice low nicotine content, creamy, silky mouthfeel. You know, some people find it easy to keep lit. A lot of people find it hard to keep lit. But, you know, it just kind of depends on the person. And for me, you know, I think it's got an incredible room note. You know, it's one of these things that, you know, just kind of makes the room feel warm and, you know, and kind of, it just smells like a pipe, you know, it's not a, it's a nice thing. So, you know, anyway, I think the unflavored Black Cavendish, it has a place. You know, we've got a couple customers actually here that smoke it exclusively, and that's what they smoke. And you know, you got to think about that, right? It's kind of like smoking the ice on, or like drinking, eating the ice out of your sweet tea, right? It's like, you know, okay, I'm going to have, I've got my glass of sweet tea, but I'm going to pick the ice out of it, and I'm just going to focus on that. Yeah. And so the ice is kind of its own component, but, and it's important to the, you want a cold sweet tea, but but the ice on its own, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And, but for some people, they enjoy it so much that it does make sense. So, it's just interesting. I would encourage anyone, out there who is a real pipe enthusiast, maybe that's dabbled in blending before, get your hands on some unflavored Black Cavendish, and it's available out there. You can find it. You may have to hunt a little bit, but you know, try it. It's a weird experience to smoke something that has hints of sweetness, creamy smoothness, oily moisture, and almost no flavoring. It's a strange and wonderful experience. It's really kind of nice. Yeah. It's basically zero tongue bite. It's really great.
Okay. So I just want to like frame this up. You started this episode talking about how, oh, I need to be blending more. Oh, I need to get back to blending more and everything else. And then, like, you're the king of waxing poetic, but I mean, like, you just romanticize flavorless. I'm going to keep saying
the ice cube, right?
Like, yeah. The ice cube, right? Like, this is like completely flavorless. Something tells me, well, let me ask you this. Do you enjoy, I mean, like, how often do you actually partake of just straight up no flavor Black Cavendish?
You know, I don't know, maybe once a week. Is that
really?
Too much?
No.
Do I have a problem?
I have no judgment.
For me, it's a fun tobacco to smoke because, you know, the flavor is so incredibly subtle, but the process of it is fun to smoke. You can always hear, when you're smoking unflavored Black Cavendish, you can hear kind of the moisture just crackle in the background. You know, there's always that real thick moisture there. It's just smooth and silky. If I've smoked a lot of bowls of tobacco, it's a nice tobacco to fall back on because, you know, it's not going to have any tongue bite at all whatsoever. You know, it just is kind of cool burning, and it lets me go through the process, the cadence, the rhythm of pipe smoking without, you know, having any of the, you know, just not have to, I don't have to pick out anything. You know, it's like, oh, what am I going to smoke? I don't really even know what I want to smoke. Yeah, I just smoke unflavored Black Cavendish, you know? So I don't know. It's interesting, but it is a key ingredient for a lot of tobaccos that are out there. And so just a few that, you know, that might be of interest to some of our listeners, you know, we've got MacBaron Plum Cake has a healthy dose of Black Cavendish in it. Plum Cake is a, you know, it's, you know, generally considered to be a non-aromatic tobacco, even though it does have some topping on it. But, you know, certainly not a syrupy, heavily cased tobacco.
The name would imply otherwise.
It would. Of course, Luxury Bullseye Flake from Peter Stokeby. Stokeby tobaccos we know and love and promote. And, you know, Luxury Bullseye Flake, unflavored tobacco, natural hay-like flavors, grassy flavors. If you listen to Country Squire Radio for a long time, you know I can't stand it because it kind of has this like perfumey background, almost a Lakeland flavor to me. But another component in it is that bullet of black Cavendish that's in the middle of those medallions.
It makes it a very cool looking tobacco.
It really does, and it's just black Cavendish, and it's a really important part. GLPs, Greg's Haddo's Delight. Haddo's Delight, really strong, incredibly delicious Perique blend. Has a real healthy dose of unflavored black Cavendish there. And then, you know, one of our gold standards of English blends here at the shop, the Throgmorton series from McClelland. As much as we've talked about the Throgmorton series, a lot of folks, you know, that know it and love it, that would consider them solid non-aromatic smokers, you know, the Throgmorton, they all feature unflavored black Cavendish. And so, you know, I think it's this really interesting component that deserves some respect and some love. And you know, I think if you are interested in blending at all, if it's something that you want to to experiment more with, it would be a good one to try out. It is kind of like smoke, you know, just you know, sucking on the ice of your favorite drink. You know, it's like on its own, like this doesn't do a lot, but it's incredibly important for whatever you're putting it in. So it's a lot of fun. I like it a lot.
All right, I mean, it's good. No, I can tell you like it a lot. Anybody want to put bets down on Black Cavendish being a key ingredient in whatever next blend that John David's going to come out with? I'm just saying, the writing's on the wall. It's all us proprietary blends.
You caught me.
Go back. Hang on. I'm just wondering if there's something to this. Go back, and every single time John David like announces a new tobacco, go see the last tobacco he was waxing poetic on.
Right.
I bet you could figure it out.
Or I sure do love that Izmir. Yeah. I mean, I sure do love, some kind of Carolina ribbon, you know.
Yeah. I'm saying money down right here and now.
Maybe that's my tell. I don't know. Is that my tell?
I think we just figured it out.
It's really great. I hope at some point, if you are interested in blending or some of the nuances of tobacco, you can give it a shot sometime.
Oh, gosh. Now I actually want to smoke it straight. I was going into this thinking, like, this is not one I want to try.
You know, I was about to say it tastes great, and it does. It just doesn't really taste at all.
Let me ask you this. Half Cavendish, half Burley would smoke like...
Nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, antimatter and matter colliding.
Would that be the destruction of the universe?
No, if you smoked unflavored black Cavendish with unflavored Burley, it would create a tear in the space-time continuum.
That's what a black hole is. People have been trying to determine like exactly how did the black hole come to in existence. We just cracked the code.
I'm pretty sure Stephen Hawking has written a paper on what you just described. Right.
Oh, man.
And therefore should come on Country Squire Radio.
Well, you know, are you kidding me? I would love that. We could probably make that happen audio-wise anyway. Man, all right. Well, I feel like we've learned a lot. And, you know, learning is a very important process as part of any of our pipe journeys.
Because knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. Finding out what we love. You know, some of the greatest craftsmen out there. Hopefully there's a lot of up-and-coming tobacco blenders out there who've gotten some encouragement and kind of know a little bit of what to do in the future. But one of the things I think all of us can learn, be us tobacco blenders or just pipe enthusiasts, is that, you know, not everything always turns out the way that we want it to. You know, sometimes things don't turn out exactly the way they are. And those of us that have the highest quality, the highest standards that we hold ourselves to, you know, some people might look at things that we would cast aside and think, well, that looks great. But we'd be like, no. We've got these crazy high standards. But you don't want to just throw away the things that still fall into this. This is a really long stretch to get to where I'm going.
It is, but you're nailing it.
Yes.
I just want to affirm what you're doing.
Yes. All right. So here's the deal. Those things, those creations of yours, even though you've got that crazy high standard, a lot of people would still love them. And that's the thinking behind the good folks at
Missouri Meerschaum. That's right. They have a 10-pipe grab bag.
Grab them.
Of smokable seconds.
Smokable.
10-pipe, grab them, smokable.
No, this is really awesome.
That's right. You can go to corncobpipe.com. That's actually Missouri Meerschaum. That is their URL. So if you type in corncobpipe.com in your browser, you will go straight to Missouri Meerschaum's website. And available, they have this really cool set of pipes that you can get. It's just the 10-pipe grab bag of smokable seconds. And these are basically, it's pipes that didn't quite make the cut, right,
you
for their high standards.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like the day old donuts. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's right.
And that's like, those are good donuts.
They're good donuts,
and you
man.
Can get like a bunch of them for like a buck.
You go to Jimmy John's and they sell the bread from the day before for like a nickel.
It's just as good.
It's good.
And I mean, they're thinking like, well, it's not as fresh and all that. Like, but no, it's like good stuff.
There's 10 pipes in there for like a quarter or whatever.
Dude, come on. $33.99. You can't beat that for 10 pipes.
That's
Check
right.
it out. You know, Missouri Meerschaum, we talk about them all the time. We love Missouri Meerschaum. And if you happen to get yourself a grab bag of pipes, do an unbagging, you know, like an unboxing.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know, we're kind of in the YouTube pipe community, but we're not of the YouTube pipe community.
Right.
But I want to encourage the YouTube pipe community. If you're a member of said YouTube pipe community, get one of these grab bags and do an unbagging. You could break the internet. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. It's a great value. Of course, you get a variety of finishes and everything. And the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, they're going to send you a pipe that is certainly smokable. It just may not have the aesthetic quality that they're known for. And so they put it in a great bag, so you can get the value.
Big ups to Missouri Meerschaum. Smoke your Missouri Meerschaum this week. It's a great way to let the good folks over there know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from, oh man, Mark VV.
That guy. Man, hadn't we put like a limit on him or something?
No, you know, there is no limit on Mark VV.
I think he is limitless.
The man, he is nonstop. He says, hey guys, no poodle jokes here. So this is more of a question for John David. I have a Peterson that's troubling me. It's an army/military. It's an army/military mount with a Lucite stem. Gorgeous pipe, but the problem is the stem does not fit at all. Well, unless I jam it in really, 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 really firmly. And even then, the gentlest touch will knock it out right. The thought I'm having is to take some super fine grit sandpaper and seeing if it takes a little material off and helps the stem fit in the shank better. Will this be sufficient? Any suggestions? Many thanks. P.S. I can probably just break it up in October and have you take a look at it. So yeah, Mark VV, come on up in October anyway, but it's still a good question for those who might be wrestling with the stem not quite fitting into the shank.
It's difficult. You know, these are military mount stems. And again, I have my opinions about Peterson. They used to be hidden opinions that I didn't discuss very often, but they're over time becoming more and more less hidden, particularly for some of the newer Petersons. You know, I have seen this, you know, multiple times. Yeah, typically, Mark, if you will do a little sanding work on the end of your stem, the thing is, this is a Lucite stem, and so, you know, you're going to sand on this thing, and it's not going to look great. It just won't. You know, you could go with a method that is going to wear down over time that you'll have to repeat, and that's, of course, putting beeswax on the end of the stem. You know, that's an option for you as well. Typically, I mean, really, the problem here is that you've got, it's not a square peg trying to fit into a round hole, but it's a peg that's not made correctly for the hole that it's supposed to go into. Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's the issue here, and so we're seeing this more and more with some of these products, and it's really really disconcerting to me as someone that, you know, just doesn't want to sell things that have these kind of issues. But anyway, I think you know, yeah, you are going to have to continue to jam it in there pretty tight. You know, some light sanding, maybe with some high grit sandpaper, will give you the option of allowing that to stick in there a little easier. You may try some beeswax. You know, this pipe, honestly, I think this pipe is going to likely be a pipe that you wind up having to hold. I think this pipe is probably not going to be a clincher anymore. And so, you know, I would love some other wisdom maybe from different folks out there, but this is something we have. And so if you do have a system pipe from Peterson or from any brand for that matter that you have had trouble with, you know, keeping together, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Tweet into us, you know, write into us. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. I think maybe a little sanding, you know, some, you know, just something to give that, that end of that stem a little friction, something to rub against that, the internal part of that briar underneath that military mount, might help it stay together. But, you know, this is probably going to be a pipe that you have to hold from now on, I would think. Yep.
Oh man,
it's interesting to me. I would love to see some of these things be less common as far as issues with some of these pipes, but it's happening more and more nowadays. So
that might be worth some investigatory journalism in the future. I mean, that seems interesting to me that you're noticing it as kind of a trend in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I Peterson is such a storied brand. They've been around, for such a long time. They have been such an incredible part of the pipe community, of the pipe renaissance. But, over the past several years, we've seen, just some quality issues coming out of some of their factories. And it concerns me, so I would love to know other folks' experiences with that. But and particularly with these military mount stems, I think that would be good feedback. So let us know if you have a solution to this. But, what I've seen work a little bit is just some light sanding and perhaps some beeswax. But again, this is going to be something where you're probably gonna hold this pipe from now on.
Well, great question, Mark. And
great question. Yeah,
it does kind of spark just some different thoughts as well. We may have to even continue this one on into the Facebook page and the club group as well.
We can also get you a new stem made for this pipe, by the way.
Always an option.
And that's always an option. A new stem will be made to properly fit the pipe. Gosh, it would just be nice to be able to use the original stem that came with the pipe for that purpose. This is just what we have to deal with sometimes. So.
Well, hey, if you got a pipe question of the week, send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Ow! All right, man. We got some quick fire questions in from thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com. More about them in a minute. All right. This is actually coming in from the user over there, M.S. Eden.
M.S. Eden.
I think so. There's a double D there, but M.S. Eden?
It might be M. Seddon.
M. Seddon. You know who you are. M over at thispipeline.com. The theme here is natural history.
Okay.
Great. Which we've got a beautiful.
Boy, this is kind of out in left field here. This is interesting.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Watch me butcher this.
This is definitely not pipe related.
Deciduous trees or coniferous trees?
No, you didn't. You don't know the word deciduous?
Deciduous.
A deciduous tree?
What did you say?
Deciduous.
That's what I said.
It's a tree. It's a.
It's the one where the leaves fall off.
Right.
I know what that is.
It's not a deciduous tree.
Well, it's deceitful is what it is. It's like, oh, look at all my green leaves, but oh, winter comes and oh no, I'm naked.
Oh, they're gone.
Yeah. That's deceptive.
I'm going to go with deciduous trees over conifers or I think, maybe evergreen tree. I'd have to go with the deciduous tree. I like the color of leaves,
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, they're beautiful.
I was just talking to my wife early this evening. Her birthday's in fall, and we were talking about trying to make plans. And I was thinking about the fact that if we could travel somewhere where you're just surrounded by the leaves changing and everything. And I realize it's part of the country is where there's leafers and people that travel to see the leaves change. But it's because it's beautiful. So yeah, so definitely the deceitful trees.
The deceitful trees.
The ones that lie.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Tide pool or sandy beach?
Tide pool. What is a tide pool?
It's just a
pool?
It's a pool. I guess I was...
With a tide?
Oh, you know what? I was thinking a wave pool.
Like a wave pool?
Yeah, like they have.
Maybe
over
that
at,
might be what he means. I don't know. Regardless, I don't care what kind of pool it is. I'm going with a sandy beach.
Sandy beach all the way, yeah. Man.
Particularly with very cold alcoholic beverage, and maybe some boiled peanuts. That's a nice combination to me.
You're on your own on that one,
and maybe some attractive company.
Yo, that's always beneficial. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Last time that me and the fam went to the beach, we actually me and my kiddos we got into the sand, made this not just a sand castle, but an entire sand kingdom.
A sand kingdom.
Yeah, I had a sand kingdom. I had an entire backstory that we also created, but my youngest one kept on smashing it in, so she kind of represented the enemies of the kingdom, And so they were constantly having to figure out how to build up defenses to said
That's
enemies
good.
Coming through.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that.
That sounds fun.
Sandy beach all the way. And then finally, desert as in dessert. No, desert.
No, that's a desert.
Yeah. Ice cream or wetlands? I'm sorry, dessert, desert? Dadgummit. I'm not even trying to do it
now. It's desert or wetlands.
That's the one?
Yeah. I got to go with wetlands. I mean, they have more interesting wildlife, I think, you know. I mean, the wetlands of Florida, you can go to there and, you know, see like, you know, pythons eat alligators and stuff. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of cool. Of course, you know, you go to the desert and you've got, you know, things like, you know, scorpions and,
rattlesnakes,
you know, all kinds of, yeah, the terrifying things. So I'm going to go with wetlands. That seems a little less threatening.
Yeah. The thing is, if like the desert, it's the sun that kills you. But in the wetlands, it's everything else. So you'd much rather die in the wetlands because then it's like, no, what happened to Frank? Oh, he got eaten by an alligator.
That's a lot better. Maybe we can eat the alligator.
Well, yeah, exactly. Let's take out
and
the
it's alligator. Wet, so there's water.
And if it's like, well, what happened to Frank? Well, he was out in the desert. Yeah. No, that's it. Just he died because he was out in the desert.
That's it. He's probably still out there mummified somewhere.
Yeah, right. That's no good. I'm gonna go with wetlands.
All right, the natural history edition of Quickfire with the Squire.
There you go.
That's that was unique. That was good. That was good. You know how I remembered the difference between desert and dessert?
I do not. How do you do that?
It is desert. It has one S, and dessert has two S's.
Oh.
And you always want more dessert.
Ooh,
isn't that good?
That's really good.
That's good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Y'all, I'm dyslexic. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on the show.
You've mentioned it multiple times.
That kind of trick.
And it's painfully apparent each time we have a show. And you're one of my best friends, so I can say that. But yeah, the there's
dessert.
Something about the you always want more dessert. Yeah.
That's so good.
Speaking of people making fun of good friends for things that they can't control, we actually had a Josh Verdonk, a listener who is actually a missionary in Papua New Guinea. He came through to the Squire a couple weeks ago here, and he caught me. I was at the scale, you know, and if you're a longtime Country Squire, you know, patron, if you've been in the shop multiple, maybe not, you know, maybe it's not apparent to folks on air here, but if you've come in the shop multiple times or seen me working, it becomes apparent pretty quickly that I have a tremor. I have this tremor. I got the shakes.
You got the
right?
shakes.
I got the shakes, and it's I guess something that hadn't really come out on air much, but it's very apparent. You know, if you kind of watch me work for a while, I just kind of have this tremor that comes and goes, and it's just, you know, it's something that doesn't really affect my job, but it's certainly there and it's noticeable. And our friend Josh, I knew he was gonna fit in. He planned. You know, he just got back out of the mission field. He came back to the United States. He made a very dedicated effort to get by the Squire and spend an entire day here before he went back and to his family, and so he did that, and I knew this guy was going to fit in when he saw me shaking, weighing up some tobacco, and he was like, "Man, what's wrong?" And I said, "Well, you know, I just got this tremor. It's not a big deal. You know, just, you know, something I deal with, and or, you know, there's something I've always had, and it's, you just don't worry about it." And he said, "Well, can we make fun of you for it?"
Oh, brilliant.
And I just knew at that point that Josh was Country Squire material.
So you're going to do fine.
Yeah, he's going to be fine here. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. Well, shout out to M. Seaton, or however you pronounce your name.
Thank you
so much for those quickfire questions. And hey, a great way to submit quickfire questions is over at the forums at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com is an amazing online community that you can join for absolutely free. Although when you do join, we do ask that you use the code CSR, as it lets the good folks there know that you heard about it on the show. Not only do you get access to their forums with an amazing online community, you also get access to kind of their social aspects, the pipeline, some great interviews, some blog posts, really, really amazing community. So again, check it out, thispipelife.com. Use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com.
I love what they're doing on Instagram right now, by the way. Like all this Pipe Life, they've got some really... really awesome social media posts.
Oh, big time.
Just thought I'd say that.
Yeah, they're rocking and rolling.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback. Okay, so speaking of the mission field, I'm going to let you take this one and do with it what you want.
This is
from our good friend John Michael George over from the Fox of the Fox of Rocks and Fox.
He's the Fox of Rocks. That's right. Our good friend JMG. He is currently sitting in the jungle in the third world country in Southeast Asia, and just happened to have, you know, this guy literally powers some of his electronic devices by a generator that he rigged up, you know, and so. what he chose to do one day when he was bored out there. He's, you know, translating scripture and, you know, just kind of, you know, meeting some of these people's needs. He's actually dealing with a lot of, they do a lot of medical work on site and all this kind of stuff. So it's really, really beautiful work that they're doing. But John Michael, you know, he's got some free time. He's got very precious, limited resources. He can't power all these things all the time. But
wireless internet is a thing of the, it's not something he's got access to.
Yeah. So he's got on his phone a saved episode of Country Squire Radio that he never got to. And so what does he choose to do with some of his downtime and his precious electricity that he has saved up to help him kind of get through the day? And he listens to an episode of Country Squire Radio.
Oh, not just an episode of Country Squire Radio.
Yeah,
like,
it was
the one.
It was a great episode. Yeah.
And the pipe shop fails episode. The John David Cole gets up on his soapbox episode.
The tobacco shop peeves. That's right. And so we have to read this. It's from our good friend who's serving right now out in the bush in the in Papua New Guinea. He says, So sitting here in my little hole in the middle of the jungle on a not so quiet Sunday afternoon, I decided to listen to an episode of Country Squire Radio I downloaded the last time I was out in civilization. The particular episode was Pipe Shop Fails, Tobacco Shop Peeves, whatever you guys decided to call it. I was having some Orlick Golden Slice in a bamboo shank acorn I made last time I was home. It's a beautiful pipe, by the way. This is me talking, but it's just a gorgeous pipe. John Michael's a really talented pipe carver. And once he does live stateside permanently, I really, you know, expect to see a lot of his pieces on the market. But
good.
So anyway, smoking Orlick Golden Slice and a bamboo shank acorn that he made last time he was out, that he was home. You guys did my pipe no favors as I dropped it out of my mouth a couple of times from laughing so hard, particularly at that wackadoo guy that was smoking other folks' slobby cigar butts. Anyhow, as you were telling the story, there was a point that you, Bo, and I were all, he's writing this to me. He says, John David, Bo, and I were all laughing in harmony as I heard someone else laughing outside my house. Okay, so John Michael, he's sitting in his little hut out in the forest, and he's listening to Country Squire Radio. He's hundreds of miles from civilization. Bo, me, and John Michael are all laughing at the same time. And then all of a sudden, he hears this other laugh outside the house. And so he looked out the window. He says, I looked out the window, and there was my very, very bushy friend wearing nothing but a loincloth and some, let's just say, grass covering the rest of him, who apparently felt left out and decided to join in with the joke. So, we were all laughing, Bo, me, and John Michael. And this guy was like, well, I'm going to laugh too. And so he sat there and laughed. And John Michael's like, there you have it. You have your first tribal Country Squire Radio fan. You have arrived.
Oh, good. Okay. This is the thing. And I mean, like,
it just makes my day, man.
You know, I think it's great. I mean, obviously translating scripture, that should be his top priority right now. But if you're looking for other things to translate, Country Squire Radio.
Country Squire Radio, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, these precious people out in the bush of Papua New Guinea, they need to know about unflavored Black Cavendish.
We need to have Country Squire Radio. You know, like before, you know, I think we've mentioned Henchoes on the show before. Good friend of the show, Henchoes, who's no longer here.
Yeah, he's back in China.
Back in China. Before he left, we were talking about doing a Chinese conversion of Country Squire Radio.
Right.
For like a Chinese audience and everything,
right.
And it didn't happen before. And then he left, and I was like,
we couldn't kind of get more get that idea fleshed out.
Yeah,
more. Yeah.
But I do like the idea of translating Country Squire Radio for the people.
Know.
That's great.
It was cool though. I mean, I just have this image of John Michael sitting there just laughing his tail off, you know, with me and you, and then all of a sudden this guy just decides to laugh with him, and that's our
sounds
first,
like a Seinfeld episode.
That's our first, as far as we know, that's our first tribal listener. So that's great.
There you go. We also got some feedback from Charles Hibbs, who gives me a shout out for shaving. He says the clean shave is the American look. Says I made the show 50% less itchy.
Ooh.
Last week. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Take that as you will.
Okay.
What pipe manufacturers have larger bowls? Now, this was a question from the Dapper Man. He says he also likes a bigger bowl with the longer smoke. You're talking, of course, about your new pipe, the Big's favorite with kind of the larger bowl.
Yeah.
Any you know, that perhaps is a pipe question for a future episode.
No, it can't. Just off the cuff, I'll go with some of our favorite Danish brands, Nording and Nirup. Both of those brands, almost virtually 99% of the pipes they make have gigantic bowls. And if you find a Nording or a Nirup, you're going to have a really generous chamber. Yeah.
That's good. And then finally, shout out to YouTuber Token Tommy. You know, we mentioned him last week.
That's right.
He's going to be representing Yorkshire at the War of the Roses coming up here at the UK Pipe Show. He's also the one that's kind of driving that forward. And as well as John Garrett as well. John gave us a shout out as well. You know, he's actually in the UK and got a kick out of the fact that even though he's in the UK, he learned about the UK Pipe Show from listening to the
yeah, it makes me so happy.
Mississippi-based Country Squire Radio podcast. That just makes me
fantastic.
Happy. Well, hey, we really appreciate all this feedback, guys, and it's been a fun show learning a little bit about Black Cavendish and also seeing a lot of the tweets roll in. John David was a little bit late tonight, so I had some folks
had some fun with that.
We had a little bit of a GIF war. I told people you know, put your funniest pipe related GIF and had some fun stuff before things were for rocking and rolling. had some good memes as well tonight. I remember seeing earlier in the episode we got a funny in Russian Bo and John David Photoshop job, and probably about the worst Photoshop job I've ever seen.
No, it's good. The A for effort.
Well, I mean, not much effort, because like you can still see the watermark from the from Shutterstock. but you are the lady in
that's
that one,
funny.
So.
Well, are you surprised?
I mean,
I do have the hair for it.
It's the bearded lady thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
It works
that's
out fair. Well. It works out well. Well, hey, we'd love for you guys to join in the live show experience as well. If you want to, you can tune in every single Monday night. That is at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. You can tune in at CountrySquireRadio.com. You can also follow us online throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man.
Dude, I had fun. I love talking about blending ingredients. You know, here I am complaining that I'm not blending enough, and then all of a sudden I get kind of inspired.
I'm wondering if, like, the extreme romanticism was coming from the fact that it's been so long since you've blended, or because you're, like, you've got something in the works that has this, like Cavendish as a major role.
Maybe it's some of both.
It could be some of both.
Is that okay?
We'll find out. We'll find out. Depends on how the tobacco tastes, really, right?
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Well, good deal. Well, hey, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
Hey, John David.
Hey. Hey, Bo. How you doing?
Hey, could you do me a favor?
Yeah, what you need?
Would you ask me if I could turn things down?
Can you turn things down a little
bit? Turn down for what? Turn down for what? Turn down for what? Thank you for doing that for me.
You know, I didn't see it coming, but even if I would have, I'm glad
I'm so glad you didn't.
I'm glad I did it.
It made it better.